It is perfect. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Particularly welcome if you come here every Sunday. We're delighted to see you. And we're even happier if you're here for the first time. So, and also, just to be different, we're going to welcome our minister in a minute to preach to us. So, the 11:30 service is on as usual afterwards. And then this evening there's a reflective service at 6:30. Pastoral news, sad to report that Colin Veal has gone back into hospital. So we must... Colin Veal. The November church news is out. There are copies in the vestibule if you could pick them up afterwards. And if you are a church member or a regular visitor, I'm going to ask Liz... now, actually, Liz, to tell us something that she's doing for us people that come often. If you don't come often, you can still contribute to this manual. And then after that, Bron, who is raising money for our kitchen work, is going to talk to us.
Thank you, David. When I first came to the church about 10 years ago, there's that thing, you say hello, people say who they are, and then you see them the next week and you think, oh golly, what was that person's name? I really can't ask again. And they probably think the same about you. And it's very nice to have a reminder as to who is who in the church. And there always used to be a church photo album. But Anno Domini being what it is, some people are no longer here to be in it, and lots of new people. And so we have a new church photo album, which will be around in the before the service, after the service, for you to have a look through and get to know, if you're at all new to the church, whether you're a member or a friend or just visiting, to just have a look through. But as you'll see, the pages are not complete. There are a lot of post-it notes with names on, and we're looking for photographs so that everybody can be in, and we're actively adding to it all the time. So please, if you've got a photograph of yourself, then do send it along and we can get it fixed in. Jane Townsend or I will organise that. I shall have my camera at church most Sundays. If you've not got a photograph, I can have you against a wall with a photograph with a... Sorry, words. You'll see a lot of brickwork behind these heads, so you... we'd love to get it 100%. Do please bring photographs along and do have a look. That's who's who. Thank you.
Hello. Just want to talk to you again about raising money for the kitchen fund. First of all, I haven't got my poster with me, but we've got tickets for the cheese and wine evening on the 19th of November available on sale today. So please speak to Ray Charlton, Barbara Fielding, or myself for those. If you have any gifts that you'd like to give for the tombola that we're going to have on the same night, please speak to Stella Taylor or myself. Stella's got a hand up over there. We're still collecting small change. Someone did bring me a pot in today and say, "Ooh, are you still collecting this?" Answer, yes. So please let myself or Alistair Borthwick have those. And finally, just an advance notice, Jenny Tarbutt has given me some photos today to make into a calendar, which we're going to sell before Christmas. So if you were thinking of giving calendars as presents, don't buy them yet, because we're going to have a fantastic one on sale. Thank you.
So finally, just to remind you, or if you're here for the first time, there'll be refreshments in the Meyer Hall after the service.
Let us join to worship God. Jesus, our teacher, says, "Let the greatest among you be your servant. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." We join to sing, "Be Thou My Vision." Say a prayer now. So let us pray. O God, send your light and truth to lead us. You have brought us to this time of worship, and we come with joy. We come to sing your praises. For you are help and you are our God. We give you thanks for those who have influenced us on our journey of faith. The neighbours and parents and grandparents who first took us to church. The teachers that told us stories about you. The sermons that spoke directly to us. Faith stories that other believers shared with us. Thank you for your word through hymn writers, poets, Again and again, O God, we give you thanks for those who have influenced us on our journey of faith. We ask, O God, that you would forgive us for the times when we have let others down, when our words and our actions have made other people feel sad and added to their burdens. We ask for your forgiveness when we said one thing but actually did another. Forgive us. Set us free from the sin of our lives and give us time to turn our lives around. Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, the bits of the Bible that we're going to be looking at today lead on from the bits of the Bible that you were looking at last week. I was looking at them too, and here we are. And it all comes from, what are the rules? And Jesus said, in response to the question, somebody says to him, what's the most important rule? And Jesus says, two things. He quotes from the Old Testament and he says, two rules. What are the two rules? They are love God and with all of you, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. And Christian people would say, well, the way that you show that you love God is because you are busy loving your neighbour. That's one of the standard ways. Right, but in everybody's house, they have rules. What are the rules in your house? What are the rules in your house? Emma, have you got a rule in your house? Have you got a rule in your house? What are the rules in your house? Don't jump on the sofa. We could tell you a story about that, eh? Yeah. Go on. Oh, please. If you finish the toilet roll, do not just leave the cardboard. Hand in the air, everybody who agrees with that rule. Absolutely. How annoying is that? Who was it? Rose. Sorry, Kathy. Don't talk with your mouth full. And all God's people said, amen. What was yours? Oh. When the children were young, take notes, please, parents. When the children were young, it is not morning till 7 o'clock. All these rules are the working out of loving people. So you love people as you change the toilet roll. And you love people as you keep your mouth shut when you chew. And you love people when you don't jump on the settee because it's going to cost money to replace. All those little tiny things are the working out of loving God and loving your neighbour. And that's what makes them important and a challenge. So we're going to sing, because all these things are about the work of Jesus turning the world upside down.
Thank you.
Imagine that, me in a church with their stripes and they're not black and white. Outrageous. Barcelona, it's okay. First reading, which John Watts is going to read to us from the prophet Micah. Micah is a contemporary of Isaiah, 8th century BC. Isaiah was a royal official concerned with religion and politics. Micah, maybe more rural, offers criticism. He's criticized the rulers of Israel, and now he turns his attention on the prophets. Been turned off.
Testing, testing.
Yep.
Do apologize. We'll start again. My people are deceived by prophets who promise peace to those who pay them, but threaten war for those who don't. To these prophets, the Lord says, "Prophets, your day is almost over. The sun is going down on you. Because you mislead my people, you will have no more prophetic visions, and you will not be able to predict anything. Those who predict the future will be disgraced by their failure. They will all be humiliated because God does not answer them. But as for me, the Lord fills me with his spirit and power and gives me a sense of justice and the courage to tell the people of Israel what their sins are. Listen to me, you rulers of Israel. You that hate justice and turn right into wrong. You are building God's city, Jerusalem, on a foundation of murder and injustice. The city's rulers govern for bribes. The priests interpret the law for pay. The prophets give their revelations for money. And they all claim that the Lord is with them. No harm will come to us, they say. The Lord is with us. And so, because of you, Zion will be ploughed like a field. Jerusalem will become a pile of ruins, and the Temple Hill will become a forest." Here ends the reading.
Amen. The Gospels show Jesus criticizing the Pharisees often. But in reality, the Pharisees and Jesus had much in common, and it could be that Jesus argues with them vigorously because we always argue most with those who are closest to us. And that's a word that's worth remembering as you hear this passage, which Sue Watts will read to us.
The second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 to 12. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples. "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees are the authorized interpreters of Moses' law. So you must obey and follow everything they tell you to do. Do not, however, imitate their actions, because they don't practice what they preach. They tie onto people's backs loads that are heavy and hard to carry, yet they aren't willing even to lift a finger to help them carry those loads. They do everything so that people will see them. Look at the straps with scripture verses on them, which they wear on their foreheads and arms, and notice how large they are. Notice also how long are the tassels on their cloaks. They love the best places at feasts and the reserved seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called teacher. You must not be called teacher, because you are all members of one family and have only one teacher. And you must not call anyone here on earth father, because you have only one father in heaven. Nor should you be called leader, because your one and only leader is the Messiah. The greatest one among you must be your servant. Whoever makes himself great will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be made great. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Just a technical notice before I start preaching, which is that, as some of you are aware, at the back is the full script of what I, at this point, intend to say. Doesn't mean it ends up like that, but that's where I'm starting from. And somebody said that it would be helpful if we could have, what did you say in summation? So now, at the top of it, it's got a number of points that are the sermon in summary. So, there it is. Now, back on track. Justice matters to Jesus. Do not be swayed, he says, by getting status. Do not just say the right thing, do it as well. The question of the week, though, has been, what is the right thing? We know something, we, Kingsley Knight Reformed Church, know something of what it has been like for the staff of St. Paul's this week. We have been in the place where our hospitality has been abused. We have faced the challenge of living with what we say we believe in the way that we use our buildings. So outside St. Paul's Cathedral, where would Jesus be? In a tent? In an office? Inside the building? Where is Jesus? The question is, where is justice? The mixing of religion and money is always a challenge. Paying to get into religious buildings always irritates people. They think it's a right blooming cheek. I was walking through the building, this building, and somebody said, do you know how much they charge for you to go into St. Paul's? I said, well, you can go in for free to worship. Yes, but it's disgrace, you know, a right tirade. You can come in here for free. Yes, but it's St. Paul's I want to talk to. So it really, really irritates people. People, whether they're people of faith or not, it really gets up their nose, right? That's true. Would they be prepared to increase their taxes to look after these historical buildings? I suspect not. You can tell me that I'm wrong afterwards, but I suspect not. And these buildings, which people use for acts of worship, are also historical monuments. And we as Christian people could easily walk out of our buildings and leave them behind. We are not our buildings. However, part of the role of the Church of England is custodians of these great big huge piles of bricks and mortar, for which they get limited support from the state. So that's a tricky one. And it's also tricky, the whole business about getting paid for your religion, which is what Mike is talking about. That these people are paid and therefore they're happier to give people good news than the challenging word that he believes the people need to hear, says Micah. So that when I say something to somebody about God and love and justice and mercy or something like that, people say, or you can hear them thinking, well, you would say that, wouldn't you? You would say that. Because they're right. My pension is invested in the United Reformed Church. My pay, the sumptuous wadges of cash that the URC keep me in, that is from the United Reformed Church. However, when you speak, it has a power that my words do not. And also, when the street pastors meet people through the night and they say, how much are you getting paid for this? And they say, nothing. Or, we've had that in the coffee service as well. People saying, how much do you get paid? And we've had that in our youth work as well. The assumption that people are getting paid for it. When many volunteers around the place doing this work in the coffee service. This is a nice little part-time job. No, I'm doing it because I believe it's right. There's a power in that. There's a power in that. So, the word of the week then, my friends, I think has been hypocrisy. And I've spent the week thinking about hypocrisy. And so the first thing, of course, with these things is, what does it mean? How do you define it? A pretense of having a virtuous character, moral or religious beliefs or principles, etc., that one does not really possess. A pretense of having some desirable or publicly approved attitude. And of course, it's obvious, it's the blandest of bland things to say, hypocrisy is a bad thing. But it's like, you know, murder, it's like adultery. The word is loaded. The word itself is loaded. But there is worse. There is worse than hypocrisy. Because at the root of hypocrisy is, or could be, the potential that actually you are aiming higher than you can deliver and you're failing. Surely the worst is the one who sits on the side and just chucks rocks. So these are well-known words, Theodore Roosevelt. It is not the critic who counts. Not the one who points out how the strong one stumbled or how the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit goes to the one who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, errs and comes up short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends themselves in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end triumph of high achievement, and at worst, if they fall, at least fails while daring greatly, so that the place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. The guidelines for the Christian life are these. Justice matters to Jesus. We get it from Micah, we get it from Jesus himself. Doesn't like people lording it over others, people who exploit people with shed loads of rules. The poorest people matter to Jesus. And then, the minute that you say, I am going to follow Jesus, I'm going to try, I'm going to be part of that wacky gang that are people who follow Jesus. The minute you say that, you are going to fail. And therefore, somebody could say, you're a hypocrite. Of course, this week has been a public relations disaster for St. Paul's. It was a mistake to shut the doors. It's not good ever to hide behind health and safety as a reason, because it just gets on people's nerves. It irritates them. But we can imagine that there have been issues around hygiene and fires. It's part of St. Paul's heritage, isn't it? Fires. I bet they'll be really twitchy about candles. No, you know. And news can be spun in one particular way. And the fact that St. Paul's, as a community, have been offering lectures, discussion, teaching on issues around money and banking has not been disclosed widely and publicly. Now, the passage from Matthew's Gospel, as I warned you before it was read, can read very harshly. These are words from a different time, when in your debate with your opponent, you worked on the assumption that they were blind, foolish, impious, hypocritical. That was how you debated. There was no aim to be balanced. And these are words that have been used as the basis of anti-Semitism. That's not the intention of Matthew, not the intention of Jesus. And Jesus' people like us are not in the business of using them in such a way either. We are in the business of letting people rise up, not in the business of putting people down. The message is that those who are teachers and leaders of the church should not think of themselves as above other people. Humility must be a key feature of those who are in church leadership. Heaven has no ranks. And those of us who are in church leadership need to focus our lives and our behavior on serving God rather than making life easier for ourselves. It's not about how easy is it. It's about what does the Lord require. Get up, get going, rest, whatever it is. And justice, says Jesus, says Micah, is the mortar that holds society together. In the time of Micah, society is collapsing. Popularity, injustice are the central themes of the prophet's preaching. And it's not enough just to condemn. There has to be justice in the courts, says Micah. There needs to be something sorted out with these prophets who are away from justice, who are just saying the easiest thing. And Micah condemns the false prophets. He condemns them because not only are they speaking words that are not true, they are also prostituting their calling. And that's back to hypocrisy again. So, a sermon on hypocrisy. In a week like this, what could be more challenging? And it is easy, and some might find it to be fun, to have a right good rant about St. Paul's, the clergy at St. Paul's, or to have a right good rant about organized religion and the value of that, or to have a right good rant about the protesters in their tents outside, depending on who you particularly choose to decry. And all of that is nothing more than sport. Maybe it's about the challenge of rather than lobbing stones at others, we need to be wondering and working out what it means to be a follower of Jesus where we are, who we are. And maybe for us, particularly, there are issues for us about how we use this building as well as we can for the work of the kingdom. So, food bank starts in December. Contact center, new year. Tell your friends. Tell the community at large. It's not just a Christian piece of work. It will start when we've got enough volunteers and not before in the new year. And these are things that are on top of all the other things that we do. So the good news is that the Christmas Day lunch is sorted. We've got a family who are going to take that on. And all of this goes on the work of hosting people in our building, the night shelter, the pilots, the youth work, the parents and toddlers, the coffee service, the foyer ministry, and none of it is perfect. And at no point can we ever think, yes, Kingston United Reformed Church, we are people who, our lives match the teaching of Jesus. it can be at any point our best effort so to do at this time to do what the Lord requires of us. So we know the effort and the humility of being followers of Jesus. Doing what we believe to right, not so that people will say how fantastic Kingston United Reformed Church is, but because we are doing what we believe the Lord requires of us. And then the phone went. And as you know, as part of the whole problem with the night shelter and some people who were coming in who weren't night shelter guests but who were using the building, we've had to develop a policy about not having dogs, except for guide dogs, not having dogs in the building. Too many children around, too much problems with food hygiene, no dogs in the building. Would we be prepared to host a dog training let, which means cash, which means we can use it for other things. Would we be prepared to let our building be used for dog training let? And that's exactly what it is. Yes. Oh, crumbs, how does this work out? The followers of Jesus, giving it their best shot, working their hardest, knowing of the peace and the rest of Jesus, and always, always on the horns of a dilemma. Let us be still, and then we will pray. Help us, Lord Jesus, to spend time working out what you want us to do. Each of us, individually, and as a community. And then, let us be bold enough to do it. Lord, we pray. Amen. We're going to sing Dear Master, In Whose Life I See, which I have to tell you is a hymn that always makes me think of Tony Parkinson. We're going to sing. Thank you.
The response when I say, Lord, in your mercy, please say, hear our prayer. So let us pray. Almighty God, thanks, Lord, accept us who are such sinful and bad people. We cannot be your children without your grace. We are the same as all the unlucky persons. That you choose us is miraculous and amazing. This sinner prays for others. We pray for our church. We have many church activities and projects for the building of God's kingdom. Give us strength and courage to fulfill your plan for the future of this church in Kingston. We pray for our ministers and the elders that they will be inspired to do your will and lead the congregation into the way of your kingdom. We pray for the leaders of our youth that by their example young people will come to know and love you. We pray for the congregation that they will carry your message of love and grace into the world where they live and work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our families. We have many worries and distractions which fill our minds and lives. We have bills to pay that we cannot afford. We have relations who are ill and some who are dying. We have children to educate and work to do. All our business stop us from remembering your grace and causes us to have sleepless nights. We pray for respect and interest for one another. We pray that the generations will learn to understand each other and respect each other's different needs. We pray for your protection from the forces of evil which surround us on every side. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, we think of our neighbors. We pray for a new understanding between neighbors so that the level of violence and distrust will disappear. We pray that we can learn to live together in peace and harmony with our neighbors, respecting each other's differences and forgiving each other's carelessness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, you gave place us on a small planet, and through television and internet, we have learned how to see each other over the miles We pray that without new technology, we will be able to learn more of each other, so that fear of difference is replaced by respect, and the selfish ambition is replaced with generosity. We remember many nations' crises. Help us to be aware that what we see as peace may be for others nothing more than dictatorship. Freedom may have different meanings in different situations, and we need help to understand the differences. What we pray for is your peace, Father, the peace which you paid for with the death of your Son. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we know you hear our prayer because your Son taught us to pray in that confidence, so we thank and praise you in his holy name. Amen.
Continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. From our benefits and our pensions, from our pay, from our pocket money, here is our money. Let it be spent well, and let your love and your justice be the criteria that drive the spending of it and the spending of our lives. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So you might remember a few weeks ago, Nigel picked the last hymn in memory of his mother, and he also en passant said, oh, it was Irene Sutton's favourite hymn, and it's her anniversary of her death. And so I sent an email to Roger Sutton to say, on Sunday we sang, and get the picture. And he said, oh, good, sing it. So we're going to sing. Brother, sister, let me serve you. And thinking of the ministry of Irene Sutton among us in the years that she was with us. So let us join to sing. So may the Lord lead us this week into opportunities where we may serve God by serving another. May God help us this week to humbly travel with God, uplifted by God's presence, guided by God's Spirit, and cherished in God's love. We go in peace. Amen. So I've just realised one thing I should have said, which is that once Tony's finished playing the postlude, Sally is going to show us some pictures and some singing from the holiday club, the activity days rather, that happened this week.